I don't know about you, but I love how open we are to receive from God here at Streams. You only receive as much as you're willing to open your heart to God. And I can tell you, it's impossible. It is impossible. God bless you. To lack what God wants. And so, just relax. I'm going to tie this month's message together in a simple way. If you would put 2 Chronicles up. 2 Chronicles 20 through 26. It says, early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat said and stood there, said, listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and he will uphold you. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. One of the things that about successful is its root meaning means to push through. So whatever obstacle that you're facing that seems to resist everything, God is saying, push through it. Push through it because he's with you. Little sidebar. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness. And as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And they began to sing and praise. The Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. And the men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. And after they had finished slaughtering the men of Seir, they helped to destroy themselves. And when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooked the desert and looked towards the vast army, they saw only dead bodies laying on the grounds. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment, clothing, and articles of value, more than they could take away. There was such a plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the valley of Baraka, where they praised the Lord. This is why it is called the valley of Baraka to this day. This entire lesson for those who are Bible scholars understand that I'm preaching the gospel, but I'm preaching it in such a way that it speaks specifically to where we're at today. And we will tie up with the last lesson called victory. We need victory. We need small victories that will lead to large victories. That is how God works. The victory in each and every one of our lives is made through our faith and trust in what Jesus did on the cross. But it does not manifest immediately. We have to fight. We have to stay close to the Lord. But most importantly, we can't do it without him. That's the truth. No matter what's going on, we can't do it without him. Victory is ours. Because the king went to war for us. And in some translations it says that when Jehoshaphat had the praisers go out before him, God set traps in which the enemies of God were destroyed. I've had some people, like I shared last week, tell me that they're not going to change. They're not going to do anything. They're happy about where they're at with God and all. And I'm not there to change your mind. I'm here to exhort you that there's so much more that God wants to do in your life. Because if he doesn't do anything more in our lives, as Paul said, we might as well go on to glory, because we're not going to be any use here in the kingdom. I started this off with our confession. And I said that our confession is more than just mouthing words. Our confession is who God is to us. We can believe until the cows come home, and Scripture tells us that demons believe and they tremble with fear of God. And I like what Claire was saying. Do we fear God enough to submit to what he wants? Or are we still pounding the road? This is the way I want to go. And God will let you go. He will not violate your will. But it comes to our confession. Confession is more than just believing. It has everything to do with committing one's life to the control of our Creator. Think about it. And I've had discussions with a lot of you, and you say you believe and this and that, but I want us to go more. I'm not satisfied in just having a day-to-day visitation of God. I had asked him a long time ago. I wanted to walk with God like Enoch walked with God. And then he was no more. Have you read that in Genesis? It's real short. It's only 3 verses, 4 verses. But that's my heart's desire, is that every day he takes more of me into heaven to the point that one day I'll be there. Confession is admitting we have rebelled against God. We have sinned. Rebellion is judged like witchcraft. We're so busy trying to twist God's arm into what we want. Isn't it about time to let go of his arm and say, God, Dad, what is it that you want? I know, because I twisted his arm. Or so I thought. It was probably his little pinky finger. And when he began to start speaking to me about the call of my life, I would apologize for it. I would have this false humility about me, how God chose me, to a point where God said to me, I have called you with a divine call. And so he's called each and every one of us with a divine call that we cannot take from each other, but we, working together, enhance each other. Because God dwells in you, he dwells in me. But without our hearts being open, he won't work. So our confession has to be more than, yeah, I believe in Jesus and you know, I do this. I think God was saying about the stale worship as religion. And as I learned to walk with God, the more I learned about God, the more I learned about God, the more intimate I became with God. I've not arrived. And I thank God for my wife, because she keeps me in check. Let's face it, guys. It's real hard to hear from our wives, because God's in them too. And we become angry. We become disjointed. We don't want to talk about what really matters to God. And so to listen, which leads us to the next step. What are we listening for? Are we listening to him tell us that he has adopted us just as we are, but he will not leave us like that? Are we listening to the promises and the privileges that he gives to each and every one of us that the world is working so actively to steal from us? I think the hardest thing that we come to understand is how good God is. And the atmosphere here at Streams is one that God wants to rule and reign, and he does. Our insecurities, our mistrust, our betrayals have damaged us. And so what happens is we enter in from one church to another church messed up. We do. I'm not going to talk to the pastor. He's always talking about what God wants to do. I can't fix you. God wants to fix us. He loves us so much that it's not by works, it's by faith. But what we try to do is justify everything we do for God as though it matters. It doesn't. I've learned this lesson a long time ago, that the more I try to be in control, the more God stands on the side over there, and he's just like this. All right, stupid. Let's see what you're going to do. And I get myself into trouble, and I think I'm real slick. I don't speak to Irene, some of the things that goes on. And God says, it's about time you come over here. It's about time that you sought advice. And then he reiterates how much he loves us. He reiterates how grandiose the plan is. You see, everything that we're doing is only preparation for the eternal kingdom. And the first thing we have to do is surrender. What's going on in your heart? You're not here by happenstance. You're here because God wants you to be successful. And that success is predicated on us confessing who God is. And our confession becomes even that much greater because now we can testify what God has done in our lives. You just want to control people, Pastor. Whoever believes that, raise your hand. I don't. I want to find out what's going on in your heart. I want to find out how I can be of service to eradicate those things that you have put up to hinder your own success. I can do this. Think again. Listening is a skill that I'm just learning. It's more than just hearing his voice. It's more than just doing what he says to do. Hearing is a conversation. When I'm hearing, I'm listening to him speak to me. Jesus said, be careful how you hear. Be careful what you hear. Why? Because we have to learn to test the spirits. In testing the spirits, we can find truth. And the truth of everything is we need to constantly examine where we are in the faith. Are we still in the faith? In Galatians, Paul was astounded by how quickly they abandoned their faith for works. That's not going to happen here. Yeah, there's work we have to do. But everything we do is allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us. It's His church, not ours. It's His ministry, not ours. And when we come to that place to understand, nothing happens without the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you can do nothing unless you're part of the vine. Are you grafted in? Do you have preconceived notions what that means? Do you have uncertainties about things? Because Scripture can be ambiguous. And we need to sharpen each other through the iron, sharpening iron. What is God saying to you? What is He saying here? Well, Pastor, and the elders have known this. They have gone through an intensive workout that I don't want to hear what they think. I want to hear what God is saying to them and through them. And so should us as a local body, because part of the vision is going out to other churches. Part of it is going out for teams. It's infiltrating the churches who can infiltrate the lives that we can't touch. But if they understand about the kingdom and they understand how it works, it'll be a whole lot easier. Are we listening to the right things? The way we hear is we get ourselves in trouble. And then we go to God and we want to hear from God. This isn't working, God. You know, let me run over here. Let me break the glass and let me cut up all this stuff. And God, what do you want to do? I've done that a lot. Not recently, but I've done it a lot. Psalm 50, 15. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Call upon me in the day of your trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Let's face it, guys. We're still operating with a fallen mindset, not a kingdom mindset. None of us know every aspect of the kingdom, but I can tell you this. With all of us, we can know more of how the kingdom operates. That's why we're here. Acts 2:39 says, the promises is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. He is calling mankind to come back to Him. You have responded to come back to Him. Some of you have entertained thoughts of, you know, it's just not working out. What do I need church for? They're nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. They say one thing to another. Not every church operates like that. The promises. God says in Deuteronomy 29, He says that He will visit the sins of the fathers to the second, third, and even the fourth generation. But He blesses His children to 1,000 generations. Do you believe that? It is. And we're walking examples of that, because when we go on vacation, now we're able to take vacation, we sit at the shoreline thanking God for everything. Thanking God that we don't have to know everything. We just need to know Him. And situate ourselves in a position that He can use us to bless us through our obedience, which is our next step. Obedience. When you're hearing God, are you doing what He says, or are you just hearing His voice and still doing your own thing? Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice, and they follow after no one else. Who are you following? Who's following you? It's probably the bigger question. Who's following you? You see, my job is to equip you to do the works of service. Clara is doing such a wonderful job with the coffee house. And I'm here to tell you that no one wants to take anything. They want to enhance your ministry. But they can only do that as you trust the Father, who knows what has to be done. And so what he wants to do is take it from its infancy. He wants to put some guide rails on it, and then we move forward. Yeah, blast off. I watch Raiders of the Lost Ark yesterday. I saw him in that jet thing. Let me read to you some things about us being obedient to God's will. 2 Timothy 1:8-9 says, therefore, do not be ashamed of your testimony of the Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to the works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Think about that. Before time started, God already knew the grace that we were going to need to succeed. I have a need for speed, which God has slowed me down, even to the point that with this thing in my head, I'm learning not to drag his people, because I want to get there. I want to get there. Now he's taught me I want to get there with his people. He slowed me down. 2 Thessalonians 1:11 says, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling, and that by his power, he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. Let that sink in. God has called us. It's a divine calling that he has called us. I know what my job is. I know because people are telling me all the time what my job is. It's okay. I let them. Do I like it? No. Because, you see, we've grown up with a parochialism that means the pastor does everything. I can sit back and do nothing. When that is contrary to what the scriptures teach. What is God teaching you right now about himself, about you? What is the call that he has for you? Are you following it? Maybe you're not sure. Let's talk about it. Let's see what God is saying to you. One thing I've learned is that God has given me a tremendous spirit of discernment. With that divine call, I see things a little bit different than people do. But my job is to bring understanding to everyone as to what the kingdom is all about. Because, let's face it, all of us have received either partial teaching or improper teaching. That's true. That's why when the elders come to me, I'll say to them, so, what's God been saying to you? And they know, they better not answer, I don't know, Pastor. When I sit down with people, I see how nervous they become. I'm not trying to be a person that makes you nervous. But I expect you to hear his voice. I expect you to be activated for his gifts, to be used and flow. We had Pastor Self come in here, and he actually helped activate the prophetic gifting that's in all of us. See, I'm not about being a person who's the only one that can hear from God. God has said we will have a school of the prophets, of which I am part of a international board of the prophets. We will have a school here to help people. Maybe you don't have a prophetic call, but you have a call to hear, and that may be enough to get you going. Hebrews says, therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. You are holy because God is holy. That may sound a little obtuse, but we're his kids. We cannot not be holy. We do some unholy things. But God sees us already finished. When you and him are getting together, does he say, you're the apple of my eye, I am so proud of you? Or are we there talking with God, or not even talking to God, because we're afraid of what God may say to us? I got this, God. I got it, you know. I know what I'm supposed to do. Great. To what purpose? You see, I've learned that God has a purpose and a plan. And that plan comes into our lives. And we run off into the sunset without understanding the purpose of what God is calling into our lives. It can be godly. It can be even something that is flourishing. But did God speak it? Did God speak it? And we are learning that part of our network, if we don't volunteer things for people to speak into our lives, they won't. We just had 3 days of intense intense getting beat up. And in the end, they build us up. See, we're not satisfied. We're in transition. We're transitioning from a mom and pop thinking, which Pastor Keith calls independent thinking, to a point that we're enlisting the help of individuals to come, to initiate, to encourage, to build us up, to give us understanding how to operate in the kingdom. Do you think about the call of God in your life? Are you consumed? What is the passion? And I know some of us have come to Christ recently. Some of us are developing these things, but what is the passion that is consuming you? Is it God worked, or is it self work? I can't answer that for you. I'm not here to convince you. I'm here to start thinking, because that's what this scripture says. Are you thinking about how to reach lost people through the ministry that God has given to you? Because that is the purpose of your ministry. Whether it's cleaning the toilets, which I want to brag on Clean Up. They do a phenomenal job. To have a place that when God comes and sits down in a chair, he sees that we're serving in excellence. We want all the blessings, not only the fall on Jesus, but his people. Excellence. Everything we do needs to be done in excellence. And so when we ask someone, or let me put it better this way, when I direct someone to go and walk alongside of this ministry, it's not because we want to handcuff that ministry. I just don't have time to sit down with everybody. And so that person becomes a liaison as to holding the people accountable, which we should do, that's biblical, but also bringing people into an understanding as to how the kingdom flows here at Streams. We should all want input. And that input comes in at a price of our insecurities, a price of our mistrust, of past abuses, whatever it is. I promise you, God will turn it around for your good. Because he has done it for us. 2 Peter 1:10 says, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never fall. Do you know what your divine call is? Ask God. He's got a job for all of us. We're talking about the next step for us. Because God's got something else for us to do, which provides opportunity for what God wants to do through you in this ministry. Make sure you're calling an election. Make sure you're in the faith. Do you realize that you can say all the right things, believe all the right things, and fall out of faith in God? So he's talking to believers, not make believers. Make believers, we know, are phony. We're not phony here. What you see is what you get. And I love it because as we do those things, God's reality emanates from us. Do you want that? I want to see that. I want to see it in people's lives. I want to see what God's doing. Are you aligning yourself up with God? Or are you, or have you experienced enough? And that's all you want. That's fine. Understand, I'm praying for you. I believe in you. I believe there's gifts and callings that have not come forth yet that you are unaware of. I see them in you. But only you can surrender your life and allow the divine life that is in you out. I'm here to help you understand how to do that. I'm not here to work with just the women. Of course, that gives opportunity for Irene and I to do body ministry together. But for the men. For too long, men have been saddled with an incorrect understanding of how to operate in the kingdom. He's the boss. We're not. We don't lord it over our families. We learn to serve our families. Every major decision comes to a place where Irene and I will talk about it. We will discuss what God's saying to us in our own personal lives. This is not ministry-wise. But when we have peace, we know we can make a decision. Do you know the peace that passes all understanding? That's Jesus. Do you know him? Or do you make decisions based on your emotions? Well, I just don't feel like... Well, that's another no-no. I want to give you a key. Don't tell me how you feel, because your feelings change. But the principles of the kingdom do not. I just don't feel like I'm being called. Well, you're contradicting what God said. You have a problem. Not God. You do. Our obedience is predicated on the blessings. We don't get blessings first and then we become obedient. That's what the world does. God says, do this and I'll bless you. That's what he says. I've learned a long time ago that in ministry, and I tried to make ministry happen. I tried to do all the things. And God was standing on the side looking at me like, what are you doing? If I'm not in this, nothing happens. When I got that, which was shortly after my mini, I understood. This thing is not supposed to rise and fall because I'm doing such a wonderful thing for God. It rises and falls on all of us doing what God says to do. And finding out ways in which we can help one another promote the ministry that he's calling into your life. It's his ministry. Understand, it's his. God giveth and God taketh. And if you're not doing a good job in the ministry, what's happening? And I could tell you in the world wants to anesthetize us from the realities of God. That's why drug addiction is so advanced in this nation. That's why people are flourishing with debt. Not understanding. You need a plan to dig out and then not return ever again. We have that plan. Because we've done what God has said to do. How we should interact as husband and wife. God has taught us. One of the things in the advance that's through our presbytery is getting our houses in order. And it starts with us. I'll be teaching about finances. How important it is to understand that we're stewards and money is not the end of all means. It is a tool to be used. And understanding properly what debt is, how to come out of it. Getting our house in order. What happens? 72% of the families divorce because of financial reasons. That's a fact. I could care less what the world's doing. That's a fact of the kingdom families. And there's other things that come into it, but really when you're arguing about money, you don't have time to hear what God says about anything. God loves us. He wants us to be successful. He's given us his word. Do we study to show ourselves approved? Irene says to me, she says, you go in every day to your study, and I start with my devotion with God. I want to know. Am I perfect? No. I still mess up. He's taken that super Christian, the SC off my chest. I am not a super Christian. I have the same doubts and insecurities as you. But he has given me his divine spirit to overcome them so that I may not sin against him. Bible study is an ongoing principle. Why? Because we leak. We leak the information that is coming into our minds to feed our hearts so that we can be well equipped for the ministry. Our question should be something like this. Do I continue to in what I think God is calling me in to do, or is my heart telling me to do? It's the contrary, because it's all based on passion. What are you passionate about? I thought I was passionate just to be a believer. God was passionate to make me a pastor. I see prophets. I see pastors. I see evangelists. I see teachers, apostles. I see these things. They're in you, waiting for you to do something with it. Because that's what God's calling. Are you so passionate to follow after Jesus no matter what it's going to cost you? And it has cost us a whole lot to be a friend of Jesus. It's going to cost you everything. Everything. We need to understand that the cross isn't something that's really pretty, because Jesus isn't hanging there anymore. I've seen some crosses where he still is. And I talked to people. I said, that's unbiblical. What do you mean? Jesus isn't on the cross. Oh, you're just too narrow-minded. No. He's not on the cross. He's living in me now. He's living in you. And I see what he wants to do through us. The vision that he has given to us will not happen until we surrender our vision for his. I've heard people say, you know, when I talk about what God wants to do here at Streams, oh, that's pie in the sky. No, that's God. That's God. He doesn't do things that are pie in the sky. He does things because he wants to bring an end to the corruption and evil that is in this world. That's his purpose. But until he does that, he's looking for people who will be obedient to what he's saying so we can have victory. You have no victory except in Jesus Christ. And without Jesus' help through the Holy Spirit, we will not experience the reality of that. I could tell you some people here years ago were, and not once did we criticize. We began to pray in the Holy Spirit, and victory came for those people. We're called to love one another. We love people. People have walked away from us, really bent out of shape at us. And Irene says to me, aren't you going to go after them? No, I'm not going after them. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit deal with them. He does such a better job than I could do. Right? I remember one time I was preaching and Nolan got really hot under the collar. Walked out of the church. And Irene says to me, are you going after him? I said, no. He's God's kid. He isn't my kid. Let the Holy Spirit deal with him. 6 weeks later, who was it? Rashima went and saw him. I know you went. Sarita? Okay. God had spoken to their hearts to go speak to his heart. And it had nothing to do with what we were discussing. It has everything to do with how open your heart is. And that was real early in the ministry. I was a knucklehead. Yeah. But you know what? We have been patient. We have learned to love in spite of the differences, because all that matters is our differences line up with what God is saying. I call that fighting right. I don't fight right. I don't fight at all. I've had, through the years, people come to me, tell me what my job is. Bless their hearts. But I've had to eat crow. Why? Because they weren't at a place of understanding where I was at. And so I have to let the Holy Spirit do what He wants. To me, what is the most important thing is the relationship, not whether I'm right. It's the relationship. I value the relationships. And when God called us out of our church years ago, we still have relationships with much of those people. We're still involved in much of their lives. And that's been over 25 years. Victory. Let me tell you three ways that you can obtain victory. One, sometimes the Lord's victory will lead us to our defeat. Why? Because the battle is God's, not ours. And we see that as a living example of David fighting Goliath. All the armies of God were trembling in fear. Goliath was taunting them. And David came and said, "You may insult the armies of God, but I don't come as a person in the army. I come in the name of the Lord." Let's all get stoned. And that stone sunk into his head. Two, in the day of the Lord, it is the holy rule of God against man's government. Read Revelation. When God speaks, that's it. Everything stops. Everything. God laughs at our vain attempts to be on His throne. That's like akin to our kids thinking they're driving our car because they're able to get up on the seat and beep the horn. When God speaks, it's going to be done. You can look at that through Revelation 9 or Ezekiel 38 and 39. Finally, the people of God enter into victory through obedience of faith. This is the only way we're going to have victory in our life. And I'm set on having victory in our lives. How about you? See, we all haven't arrived, but what are the victories? What we need to go back and think about what God has done for us. And then, of course, I'll throw, for what purpose? There's a reason why He has delivered us, and there's a purpose why He wants us to experience His victory in our lives. If not, in the world, what we have is a world of people who are evil. They do evil things. They have corrupt thinking. They induce us in drugs. They abuse our children in school. And they have a government, shadow government, that is resistive to any godly input. Because they want to stay in power. Jesus said in John 8, 32 and 36, real simple. He said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We all know that. But 36 is the key. "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." He wants to set you free from the constraints of the world so that you can impact people's lives and expand the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom is that it's to be preached to all the world. He died for the world. He wants to preach to the world. And that preaching comes through us. In the holiday that we're celebrating today, let us remember, as I said in Ecclesiastes 12:1, let us remember the Lord God. Let us remember what He has done for us. What He has done for us, He wants to do for all His children. And He wants His children to take that message to those who don't know God. That is the ultimate. That's why we're here. That's why we exist. Not because you guys are all pretty and you are. I've looked in the mirror. I've seen. Thank God I forget too. Just when I walk away from the mirror, you forget the type of man that you are. Questions you should be asking yourself. Is my heart open to what God wants to do? Do I have preconceived notions as to what my high calling of God is? And am I pressing on to attain that? Because you have to understand, Satan has a plan also to keep you from being the people of God that God has created you to be. What is your heart saying? Am I just going through the motions? We have to remind ourselves that God sees. He knows what's going on in our heart. Do you want to be used of God? If so, you have to change. It's His way or no way. God has created a leadership team that is still maturing, still growing, but our heart's desire is to help you. You are in a safe place. It's real. There's no phony balonies and good time rock and rollers here that I know of. It's up to you. It's up to you. Father, I give them your word. I preach your gospel a little bit different. Still your gospel. Let us never forget that everything works for the gospel. Help us to win those that you want saved so that they can go back out equipped and save others. We thank you for this time, Father. We bless your holy name. We bless you for giving us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. If anybody would like prayer, we would pray with them.